about so easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Pathetic earthling.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah! 911, what's your emergency?
I need a system that jams a Lincoln and Woodbury.
I know, what's
they
the problem?
They stole my damn dollars. He won't fix my taco. I'm going to have a ride in it. He's holding my dollars 10 cents.
Hold on, slow down. What's going on? Hello?
What did I say?
I can't tell. You're yelling.
I need a system. I want my dollar or my taco.
You're having a problem with the taco?
I am.
What did you do? Just let it go. What did you do? Just let it go. Just let it go.
Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head.
What an imagination on this one, huh?
And now. And a good morning to you. Welcome back to the Jerry Todd Show here in the wee small ones of a Saturday morning. We've got some fine video for you this morning, as well as another incredible contest cash call, and a lot more.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, Kings fans, are you ready?
Right?
Huh?
Yep.
Are you ready? I need to hear you.
Yep.
I need to hear you right now.
All right.
Right now.
Yes.
Let's go. Go, Kings, go.
Go.
Go, Kings, go.
Go, Kings, go.
We're doing it. I can't hear you.
I'm yelling.
I'm losing my mind.
Are you deaf?
You need to lose your minds. Let's go.
All right. I'm trying.
Ah!
Will Ferrell. The great Will Ferrell.
Hey, K-Rex Kevin.
How are you?
Tepid golf applause, but it is the return of the monkey here on the Kevin Amin Show.
Pretty crazy.
Been gone for a couple days. How are you feeling?
You know, I had the strength of a horse.
Sure.
So, no worries.
A dead one, though, right?
Yes.
I want to talk about your Los Angeles Kings, because there are times when a sports victory is more than just a sports victory. It rises to the occasion of everybody sits up and pays attention, because it happens so rarely this way. The Kings were down 3-0 in a first-round Stanley Cup playoff series against the San Jose Sharks, their in-state nemesis. They really got destroyed in those first two games.
17 goals.
Yeah.
They let in the first three games.
Right. Couldn't have played any worse for a team that had the best defense in the NHL all season long. Just got destroyed. Things were looking grim, but you're down by two games. You're not out of the, you're not dead yet. You could still come back from that. Then you lose the third one in overtime at home, and you go, well, that's a pretty deep hole. 0-3 is a deep asshole to climb out of.
That's when you don't say it out loud, but you go, well, we had a pretty good run.
Right.
You might think that.
That's when you think, hey, maybe we'll win one. Maybe we'll win two.
Right.
But we're not going to win four to advance. And that's what happened last night, as they won the fourth of those four in a row. And the San Jose Sharks... Well, you watched, Kevin. What was it like? Tell me what it was like watching the fans and the players as it got closer and closer to the end of that game that ended up being a blowout.
I got to tell you, it's really a sad scene when you're at your home game and the game's not over yet and people are just heading for the exits.
Yeah.
It's really like, wow, there are still, 6 minutes left and people are just streaming out because you're mad, you're angry, you're frustrated. You were up 3-0. How can this happen?
And the Sharks have a long history of not making it very far in the playoffs, right?
Yes, they've never won the cup, so everybody likes to keep reminding them of that as much as me. I do too.
Well, only three times in the history of the National Hockey League had this happened before, where a team had come back from a 0-3 hole in a 7-game series. Maple Leafs over the Red Wings back in 1942. Islanders over the Penguins in 1975, and just a few years ago when the Flyers did it over the Bruins in 2010, and two members of the Los Angeles Kings today were on that team in Philadelphia that came back from an 0-3 deficit, which is incredible to have that happen to two men in one career.
That is crazy. It really is.
It's insane. It's never happened in basketball, by the way. It's only ever happened one time in the history of Major League Baseball, and that was that magical season of the Red Sox winning the World Series in 2004 when they came back after being down 0-3 to the Yankees. So it's incredibly rare that something like
this
happens.
Well, it is super strange in that you just played three games and you lost all of them.
Right.
And the other team only needs to win one of the remaining four.
Now, I understand that there was a controversy over a tweet that you sent last night, and you have a long history of controversial tweets having to do with the Los Angeles Kings, but what happened, Monkey?
I don't know. I don't know which one you're talking about.
Was it one that you put up and then maybe the fans ganged up on you and insisted you delete it? Muggs, you want to help me out here?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
I believe, I think they were up 3-1, and Kevin tweets, LA Kings advance.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Want me to finish it?
No, go ahead.
Okay, LA Kings advance, San Jose Sharks. Don't think of it as a massive choke. Think of it as your team being consistent in the playoffs.
Right.
That's a very funny tweet.
Because they always lose in the playoffs. But,
right, they're just being consistent.
But I was kind of getting it ready.
Uh-huh.
And did not want to send it because there were still, you know, 7 or 8 minutes left in the game.
Oh, I see.
So if, you know, if I put that up and then they come back, then...
And then San Jose, all of a sudden, for whatever reason, just comes back and scores 4 goals.
Then everyone hates me because I jinxed it. So I put it up accidentally and then took it down immediately. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and then finally when the Kings won, I put it back up. But, yeah, that was unfortunate.
I do feel like about half your tweets are accidental.
Well, I would say that I do end up deleting about half, whether it's I didn't like the way they came out or I made a mistake. Most of the time I make a mistake.
Yeah, usually it's link doesn't work or the photo doesn't show or every word is spelled wrong.
I did not. I was thinking as I was typing it, do not send this yet. Do not. What? Yeah, it wasn't good.
So Saturday, Ducks versus Kings, round two of the playoffs. And now we get into – this is the first time they've ever met in the postseason, right?
I believe
Ducks
so,
and Kings.
Yeah.
And now we get into the classic sports debate, which is it better to be the Kings and be tired but be playing, you know, in a groove with tremendous momentum and just keep on going, or is it better to be the Ducks who've had about 6 weeks off and have been in the Bahamas?
They have, they've had time to heal up little injuries and stuff like that. So I don't know. I think I'd rather be in the position of being able to get healthy.
Right. Right.
If I had to, but the fact that we didn't have that option was all right.
Hopefully, it will be another great series because this whole playoffs across the league has been phenomenal this season. So, congratulations to Los Angeles Kings. Well done.
At least the Ducks weren't the best regular season team.
Right.
At least you got
an easy opponent next.
Oh wait, that's not true. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
This is so boring and forever taking.
Talks like me. The star of Hawaii 5-0, Chai McBride, will be in the studio. Hawaii 5-0. The earlier season of this back in, what was it, 1970-something?
You're talking the earlier incarnation of this series?
Yes.
1968 to 1980. It ran for 12 seasons on CBS.
And Bean loved that show.
My favorite show of all time.
Nate, what was the dog that you named in the honor of?
Chin-Ho.
Chin-Ho.
Played by the great actor Cam Fong.
So we got that coming up this morning. We also have Sue-Ann Pion.
Oh, she's my hero.
That's her name. Mars One candidate. She's the one that is apparently taking reservations for people to move to Mars and start a settlement there. It's a one-way trip.
Yeah, she has not been selected yet, but she is a finalist. I mean, I think there's still quite a few people in the running. We don't know whether she's going to make or not, but she is a person that we will talk to on today's show who is willing to leave Earth behind forever. And very few people, I think, would do that. I am absolutely one of them, yes. I absolutely am one of them. I am not convinced this is the best planet.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure Mars is the best planet either.
We don't know until we get there. I'm going to see if Sue-Ann's got luggage or something, if I can stow away. I don't know if we're going to figure this out, but I want to go with her. I need her to be my best friend.
You're 6'7" or 6'8", right? I don't see you stowing away.
6'6", yeah. Six, yeah, six. I know. It seems unlikely that anything's going to get on that ship that they don't know about before it takes off. It does. But I'm dying to talk to her because the mindset of leaving Earth behind and everything and everyone you know to go live in a box on another planet that you can't walk outside. What's going on with her?
I think you have to be a little nuts.
Maybe. Or just super ass adventurous, you know?
I guess. But super ass adventurous, you know, doesn't take into account leaving all of your friends and family behind.
I know. That's crazy. I mean, I guess Sue and the others who applied for this, and there were quite a few, I guess they looked at it as a trade-off. Yes, I'm definitely leaving some things behind, but the adventure and the excitement of what awaits is going to be worth it.
They're going to get there, and on the second day, they're going to go, yep. Yep. This is Mars. This sure is Mars. We sure are here. We also have tickets for the Kings of Leon. Been giving those away all week, and we have Dr. Drew on the program today, and we have a brand new internet roundup. So that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ooh, it's the Ralph Garman remix. I like it. Big finish, big finish.
I'm going to release an album just of whistle solos.
Well, Ralph Garman whistles the hits?
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That'll sell like hotcakes.
Get to hear my Cry of the Valkyries. It's going to be awesome.
I would like to very much.
It's not Cry of the Valkyries. What's the name of it?
I don't know, but
Flight of the Valkyries.
I have to look it up. I was already ready.
It's from the helicopter seat of Apocalypse Now, right? That's the one? Hey, just for grins before we do the showbiz, okay. Can we hear Kevin whistle?
Oh, yeah. I love his blow hump. Better than usual. It's like I'm done.
You don't get a bunch of power out of your whistling for some reason.
I am not a powerful whistler.
You don't overwhelm with your whistling.
It's finesse.
Thank you, Ralph.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
All right. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show.
Let's talk about show business. Hey, now we know why George Clooney is marrying...
What's her name?
Yeah, this says here Aman Alameddin. That can't be right. It's Amal, right? Amal Alameddin. Because she wasn't interested in him. Boy, works every time, doesn't it?
She wasn't interested?
George Clooney asked her out 3 different times. She turned him down.
Interesting.
And she finally said, okay, George Clooney, ugh.
Stop bugging me.
I will go out with your ugly ass one time if you'll just leave me alone. And then the next thing you know, they fell madly in love and the rest is history. See, ladies? A little hard to get. Keeps you interested. Turns out landing the man of dreams is not posting a selfie of your ass. It's acting differently. So, what do you know?
Kevin, you've been out for a couple days, but for all of our skepticism, it appears that George Clooney is actually getting married. It seems like it's been confirmed by his mom and then separately by his father and the place where the lady works. It just seems like it's really happening.
That's crazy.
Can't figure out why.
I would have put money on him never getting married.
He did put money on him never getting married. He had a bet with Michelle Pfeiffer for $100,000.
Oh, my God.
He'll never get married. And now he's going to have to pay up to Michelle Pfeiffer.
I was thinking like $5.
What are you thinking?
I'm not in the 100 grand range.
No, you're not in the Clooney.
No.
The era of
he's got that on
cash either. Yeah, really. It's in his sock. Bryan Cranston's a quirky dude. Love him.
Love him.
But I didn't know this about him. He refuses to speak on Mondays. No talking on Mondays.
What?
No talk Mondays.
At all to anyone?
At all to anyone for any reason at all. No talk Mondays.
So he never worked.
Silent
never
Mondays.
Worked on Monday.
Well, look, I don't know if this is a new thing or whether it's a lifetime fixation, but he does not speak as right now. Does not speak on Mondays.
Does he text? Is that considered speaking?
Does not say how he communicates. He calls it a sociological experiment. He told the Daily Mail in the UK because he says we don't see art, architecture, other beautiful things if you're busy talking. So by being silent, he's able to take in the world.
Bless you. That's weird.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to not talk on Mondays.
You sort of have a job where you kind of need to.
It's a sociological experiment.
Yeah.
Well, see, actually, he's doing Broadway right now, and his show is dark on Mondays.
There you go.
So he doesn't have to be on stage speaking. He doesn't have to be performing. So maybe on his day off, he just...
That's weird. Can you guys imagine even doing that for one day? Can you imagine how weird that would be to walk around and not say anything?
I would love it.
And by the way, you know, people come up to him on the street, I'm sure, and say hi, and what does he do? I mean...
Is a business card that says no talk Monday or something,
right.
Maybe.
He wears a sign around his head. I've gone a day without talking.
Have you really?
Oh, yeah. If my wife and kid are out of the house,
right?
Like if they're visiting her family or something, and I've got
If you're by yourself, it's easy.
Yeah, well,
but how about in the world? Though?
I've not gone out in the world.
Yeah, it's different. You just pleasantries interacting with somebody at a store or a restaurant or something like that, you're going
to
say something.
It makes it hard to order at the drive-thru.
I found.
That's the biggest drawback for me. Jennifer Lawrence is not the world's best drinker. All right, she's got one flaw.
Uh-oh.
She told New York Magazine that she was at Madonna's Oscar party, and she had been overserved and ended up throwing up.
Ooh.
She said someone came to her aid to help her pull it together, and that girl was Miley Cyrus.
Oh, wow.
Which really, if you're having a party emergency, that's the one you want by your side. She's like an expert. It's like having Stephen Hawking help you out with your math homework. I mean, that's who you want by your side. If you're crashing at a party and you're vomiting and need someone to hold your hair back and someone to help you through it, Miley's got some experience right there.
But isn't that a bad sign for you if you're turned into Miley Cyrus? If she's your emergency contact at that moment.
But she's an expert. She's an expert.
I agree.
In partying, so that's who you want. You don't want Taylor Swift there. It's like, oh, let me bake you a cookie. That's not going to help. You need someone to. All right, here's how we do this. All right, I need some Alka-Seltzer stat. And it's like people running around. It's like a crew, like a pit crew helping out. Miley's got it down.
I mean, Miley is the party in the USA girl.
Give me your keys.
Oh, no, I'm fine. Yeah,
no, give me your keys.
I'm driving. Wait.
Give me your keys. You're too drunk.
I'm okay.
It was Kevin this morning.
How dare you?
Talking to his bartender in Vegas. Today's celebrity birthdays. Amelia Clark. You know her from Game of Thrones, of course. 27 years old today. Actor Darius McCrary is 38. Julie Benz. Dexter's wife.
Love her.
Love her so much. 42 years old. Super talented director Wes Anderson turns 45. John Woo. Another excellent director is 68 years old. And singer, songwriter, yeah, we're going to get to the story later. Ray Parker Jr. is 60 today. Hit it, Steve.
There's something strange in your neighborhood. Who you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
I want a new drug. Won't let me down.
That's a sensitive issue for Mr. Parker, if you please not.
Yeah, by the story, I mean, we'll talk about the time Ray Parker Jr. smeared ice cream all over Bean's wife and licked it off. Or something like that.
I think that's how it worked.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
How about Kings of Leon tickets all week long here on the Kevin and Bean Show, including today in the second row. Congratulations to Jason Hoskin from Culver City. He just won his tickets. He's also eligible for the grand prize drawing to go see Be King for a Day and see the band in London, England. Got another chance for you to win those tickets coming up later this morning here on K-Rock. I don't listen to Rush Limbaugh, but I feel like I need to start. I feel like I'm missing out on some gold over there on AM radio.
He certainly can't possibly believe everything he says. You get the idea that he's one of those guys that just like he knows that that's the controversial stance, so he takes it.
I don't know. What's going on with Mr. Limbaugh. Obviously, he's very popular. He has millions of fans who listen to him on the radio around the country. And he has a point of view on stories that is unlike any other in the media. For instance, the Donald Sterling story. I don't have to tell anybody what Donald Sterling has been up to. He's the owner of the Clippers, who will soon be forced to sell the team after he was revealed on tape making racist remarks. Well, Rush Limbaugh doesn't think it's Donald Sterling's fault. Well, it is his fault. He's in trouble now. He was targeted because he didn't give enough money to the Democratic Party. So they're getting back at him because he didn't give President Obama enough cash. Therefore, they're trying to bring him down.
But wasn't he in trouble with the fans and the players of his own team first?
Yes.
What does that have to do with Obama and the elections and...
President Obama was still living in Africa when Donald Sterling started getting in trouble with not renting to and saying disparaging things about minorities. All right, so thing one, and by the way, it turns out that that Donald Sterling is a registered Republican anyway, so he's not giving money to all those causes, as it turns out. But anyway, he doesn't exactly say how that one works. But the new theory that Rush Limbaugh came up with yesterday is the reason Donald Sterling was so upset about his girlfriend getting her picture taken with Magic Johnson is because Magic Johnson had the whole thing planned. He's the one who's masterminding this so that he could bring Sterling down and make the Clippers worth less so that Magic Johnson can buy the Clippers for a better price.
What?
Nice. Good one. Good one. It's all a conspiracy that I don't completely understand, but maybe Rush Limbaugh himself can fill us in on the gaps here, because I don't know what is going on with him, but he does join us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Rush. Welcome back, sir.
Good morning, my friends. How are you today?
We are good. How about you?
I am excellent, sir. Thank you.
Well, we're confused, if I can be completely honest, because I don't understand.
Allow me to illuminate you, then.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, what's going on with Donald Sterling that the lamestream media is missing?
Well, it's pretty apparent to anyone who has a brain what's happening here.
Okay.
First of all, what was the one person that Donald Sterling did not want his sugar mama bringing to the Clippers games?
Magic Johnson is the one he named.
Magic Johnson, that's right, my friends.
Right.
Uh-huh. And now Magic Johnson suddenly has an interest in purchasing the Clippers.
Right.
A lot of people do, but yeah, he's one of them.
He already owns the Dodgers.
Right. He's one of the owners in the group, right?
He already owns a chain of theaters in Los Angeles.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Several restaurants.
How's that relevant?
Well, it's apparent here that this is all an elaborate conspiracy by Magic Johnson and President Obama. And I'm guessing probably Spike Lee.
Because he's black?
Yes. To use this woman, this V. Stiviano, to surreptitiously tape Donald Sterling, getting him saying disparaging remarks about black people, especially Magic Johnson, and then in that way force him to sell a team that Magic Johnson desperately wants to purchase.
Okay, but nobody put those words in Donald Sterling's mouth. I mean, he said those things. He holds those views. He has a long history of being a racist a-hole.
Exactly. So what better to use against him than his bigotry? And so Magic Johnson, being the genius that he is, decided in one of these secret black caucuses that they have where they plan to take over the world.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, you know, the black caucuses where they plan to take over the world. He said, I know Donald Sterling is a racist, so if I can send my buddy V in there with a tape recorder, I can expose his racism and thereby force him to sell the team, which I can purchase along with other people like Steve Urkel.
I don't think Steve is at all involved. You may be thinking of Oprah Winfrey. Now, her name has been thrown around a little
bit. Oprah Winfrey, Steve Urkel, Bill Cosby.
All the same to you?
Two black guys from The New Girl. They're all part of a consortium that plans to take over the Clippers and make millions and millions of dollars, my friends.
But so how could you, because you want to, you know, buy the team, how could you make Donald Sterling say those things?
Well, they didn't have to make him say those things. He already felt that way, but they knew that, so they used that as a weakness against him in order to leverage their position and purchase the team. It's all pretty obvious.
So when Magic was on the TV over the weekend talking about how hurt he was, how he considered Donald Sterling a friend, and how offended he was, inside he was doing somersaults. He was so happy that he got this on tape.
Lies. All lies, my friends. He's a genius. He is a Machiavellian in his evil. How he organized this entire situation to benefit him and the rest of the secret black caucus.
Well, you're the only person who's put these dots together, Rush. I don't know whether to be proud of you or have you committed.
And let me tell you something about the black caucus.
Please.
They've got a huge caucus. Black people are known for their huge caucuses.
Right. Right.
Hold on, I have to take my happy pills. I love OxyContin.
Dr. Drew on the program today, also a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, and one of the stars of Hawaii Five-0, actor Shy McBride, joins us just after 7 o'clock this morning on KROQ. First, though, the Afro line is on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. There are lots of ways to reach the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we've got the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and you got the Twitter page. You can always email us. I think the phone, that's the most old school way. If it's a throwback, if you really want to call and leave us a message, at least we've still got a way for you to do that.
Yeah, 323-520-AFRO. That has everything going for it, by the way. Whistling, the worst form of music, onto an answering machine, which no one has anymore. And then we play it using all of the electronics that are here at the radio station.
Now, you think whistling is a lower form of musical entertainment than marching bands? Because marching bands have always been your least favorite, I thought.
That's a good question. I have to think about that one.
If you could only listen
to one.
They're
both bad.
Yeah, okay.
Both bad. People calling in with impressions of Bean, he pointed out to us that it was one-third Christmas. And a lot of people are calling to say that is not a thing.
Hello, everyone.
one-third Christmas. Shut up, Bean.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing? I wish you a merry one-third Christmas. I wish you a... Shut up, Bean!
Look, hear my whole thing. Christmas is the happiest day of the year.
Right.
Everybody loves Christmas.
Yes, but so, do they love one-third Christmas? No, they do not.
My point is, why not spread some of that holiday cheer around for the rest of the year? Why not have one-third Christmas, one-fourth Christmas, half Christmas? Why not?
It's annoying.
What's the downside of more holiday cheer?
This person has maybe an answer.
Remember when you guys used to put Lisa in the basement? Can't you put Bean there?
How dare you? We don't need to know everything you're doing at every moment of the day.
I'm taking a big old fat right now. So good.
By the way, the correct terminology for that is you're taking a big fat beer mug.
Right. Yeah. Please use that if you would. Some confusion.
You guys, I just had one question. Is it party people or funny people? It's seriously eating me up inside that I can't figure this out. So let me know. Bye.
Is it party people or funny people?
Is that what she said? I thought she said potty people. Oh, okay. It is definitely party people.
Yes. It's not funny or
potty. Or chuckleheads. Either one.
Right. Exactly.
Es fantástico el Kevin y Frijol Show.
Donald Sterling is in a lot of trouble, and it really couldn't make us more happy. The Clipper team, the Clipper fans, all deserve a new owner.
Goodbye, Sterling. Goodbye, Sterling. Goodbye, Sterling. We're glad to see you go. You racist.
Don't get me wrong. I'm still a Laker fan. I hope they lose when it comes to the Lakers.
Right.
Doesn't look like it's going to happen for a while.
But it is a good thing that he's not going to be owning the team anymore, I believe.
I saw last night, because we haven't seen Donald Sterling show his face since this entire scandal broke. He hasn't made any kind of an official statement. He hasn't, had a press conference or anything like that. Hadn't even been seen in public. But I did see last night online that he went to a steakhouse in Beverly Hills, and that the people in the restaurant, instead of giving him his usual table, put him at the worst table in the place. Like, in the back by the kitchen kind of thing. And apparently he was very upset that he did not get his usual table. I would love it if he would become a pariah in Southern California. Like, everywhere he goes, he gets the worst possible treatment.
We have to make him move.
Yes,
we
exactly.
We have to make him move out of the city.
I mean, I want the valet to lose his car. I want him to check into hotels where there's no reservation. I'm sorry, Mr. Sterling. I don't know what happened. I just want to see his life become a living hell now.
Love it. That's awesome. Ralph, in the showbiz a couple days ago, said that there's going to be a new movie called Small World. And that did not sit well with everyone.
I have the goddamn song stuck inside my head, and it really makes me wish I was dead.
It is interesting that the part of Disneyland that is the most painful, that 1 minute that you go through the It's a Small Ride world, the part that you can never get out of your head, is now going to be turned into a movie. That could cause mass hypnosis if people go to see that film.
That's true. We talked to a guy who was trying to collect the movie Speed on VHS. He wants all of them. Why? I don't know, but this guy is not going to play along.
Hey, that guy that wants to collect those Speed VHSs, I've got two copies, and he ain't never going to get them. Woo! That guy!
A for effort, definitely.
I think climate change should actually be called environmental uncoupling.
I like it.
That uncoupling thing is really hanging around, isn't it? It's not going anywhere. And finally, a guy that calls when he's drunk.
I don't give a to be funny. I'm gonna be myself, and you don't give a man. Hey, who the is the dog line, man? You dog line. This is you, man. You know about you, man. You guys make me laugh all the time, and you don't even know me, man. So you know what, man? I give thanks. Thanks, man. Thanks that I know what Kevin and Bean is. My best friend is Pablo Morales. Is next to me. Is next to me. Yeah, you hear that? He loves you so much that he hears you. man. I'm sweating like a bitch, man. Okay, Kevin MB and Lisa May, you're a good ass. Goodbye. Yeah.
That guy, I think, was giving us a compliment.
I think so.
It sure didn't sound like it at the beginning, though, did it? 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. Then the great Shy McBride joins us right after the top of the hour. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm just furious.
At?
Just furious.
With?
At the conspiracy.
About?
What now?
About keeping bubble berries from us.
What are
I don't understand.
Yeah, that's exactly the point, isn't it?
what are they?
Bubble berries? That's the point, isn't it?
Well, I think it just became the point.
Did you know that there's a fresh fruit, a fruit that grows out of the ground just like other fruits, that tastes like bubble gum?
Awesome.
Tastes like bubble gum, looks like a strawberry.
Awesome.
Bubble berries, also known as Fragaria moschata.
Sure.
Were popular in America in the 1800s.
Okay.
But that no one sells them anymore. Why are they keeping fruit that tastes like bubblegum from us?
Does it still exist?
All they say to us is, you have to eat more fruits and vegetables. You better eat more fruits and vegetables. Hey, douchebag, eat more fruits and vegetables. I would eat more fruits if they tasted like bubblegum. Well, finally, somebody has some sense. A British store named Waitrose is going to be selling the fruit for a limited time.
So it's been growing all this time, and people just have been ignoring it?
It's out there. It's available. You can eat it. But no. Oh, no. Okay, why don't you keep more broccoli? Keep more Brussels sprouts on the shelves. How about some freaking bubble berries?
I'm looking online, and I see that there's bubble berry yogurt, Ralph.
Bubble
How's
berries.
How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Damn right it sounds good. All right.
I got that off Somebody my chest. Somebody in L.A. has got to sell bubbleberry.
I got that off my chest. Apparently not. It looks like U.K. is the only place. It's like a big deal. They're test marketing the fruit for the first time since the 1800s. How did that not catch on? How did that become like an apple? Like every kid's lunchbox has a bubbleberry in it. How did that not become a smash hit? Yeah, I'm telling you, there's something behind this.
I don't think
it makes you live forever or something. There's something. Something, sort of the reason they're keeping it from us.
Government conspiracy, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. That would be, sounds good.
I'd eat
the hell out of it.
I would take bubbleberry baths. I would cram it in every orifice of my body, and I would just roll around in them. Don't get me started on bubbleberries.
Yeah, I believe you've already started.
Oh, it's true. Really. Hey, how much do I love local news coverage?
All.
I love local news coverage so much.
Yes.
There's nothing funny about this this fire deal that's going on, by the way. You know, they got those wildfires up there in their Calabasas.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's a nightmare. But I do love shameless adventures in TV journalism. And I don't know if you're familiar with Courtney Friel or not. Are you familiar with Courtney Friel over there at KTLA, Channel 5?
I'm not.
She's a stunner. She's just a good-looking. I'll tell you how good-looking she is. She used to be on Fox News. That's how good-looking
all right.
she is.
Oh, wow. They only hire hot chicks.
And she was out there in the suburbs reporting on that wildfire. And in this clip that I'd like to play for you now, she is trying desperately, as they always do the man on the street. Like, hey, how about this fire? Sure is hot, isn't it? For no reason they're out there and there's just smoke going around and she's there looking all hot.
You want to do that so you can get in the way of the firefighters.
That's exactly. Correct. Stupid truck. And then
bunch of equipment in it.
This shirtless guy shows up carrying his dog with no shirt on, just a baseball cap. Total bro.
Right.
And, you can hear what happens.
Sir, do you live around here?
Yeah. Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
We're on the air live right now on KTLA, awesome. Actually. Do you live in one of these houses? Are you evacuating?
I live down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think of it?
It's pretty cool.
All I know is we've been talking to several people coming out of here, and they are really scared. I mean, just looking at the fire, it lights up at times, and it gets really dark, almost like a tornado. That's the best way to describe it. It really seems like that is what it would be.
She's trying so hard. She's trying so hard.
Well, she's a hell of a journalist, Ralph. I can see why they hired her.
Get back on topic. Get back on topic.
She's so rattled.
Hey, you're pretty. You're really pretty. You want to go out to bed?
But it's fire. Is there's light. Light comes off of fire and heat, and it's that's what it. I it would like it is.
What do you think of the fire? It's pretty cool. I don't think that's what
stay
she's
on
looking.
Target. Stay on target.
She goes full Kevin though. At the end.
How dare you?
That's what I would have to say. It is. Sure is fire.
I love her.
Do you live around here?
Yeah. Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
We're on the air live right now on KCLA, actually.
Go on a date
keep
sometime?
Going. Why do you want to hear the meltdown?
Do you live in one of these houses? Oh, are you evacuating?
I live down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think of it?
It's pretty cool.
All I know is we've been talking to several people coming out of here, and they are really scared. I mean, just looking at the fire, it lights up at times, and it gets really dark. It almost like a tornado. That's the best way to describe it. It really seems like that is what it would be.
She does go full Kevin, doesn't she?
Really seems like that's what it would be.
Wow.
By the way, what kind of a question is, what do you think of
what
it?
What do you think of it is a ridiculous follow-up
question.
You're
talking about the fire.
What kind of answer is she hoping for?
And then he says pretty cool, which again is not her script.
He is not having any of her little fun reindeer games, that's for sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, man.
You know what, KT Lay? A little less time talking to shirtless guys and fires, a little more looking into the Bubbleberry conspiracy.
Boom!
Well, a very, very heavy vertation tonight.
By the way, a fire is nothing like a tornado. This just in. So she was off on that one a little bit. Lights up, and then it's dark, and it's like, I feel like I'm talking to my 4-year-old. Honey, what's that like? It's light, and it's dark, and then it's like a tornado, because that's what it would be. That's what it is to be. All right. That was good times.
I love her.
By the way, she's a lovely, lovely girl. I talked to her a little bit on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was mocking a little bit. I was a week ago. I was flipping around trying to watch something. I said, the news is on. 10 o'clock news on KTLA. I'm going to tune in because I just want to see what's going on in the world real quickly. And I got in. I watched for about 15 minutes. And all it was for 15 minutes was it's Courtney Friel's birthday. And they had balloons. And there was a tribute and everything. And I was like, who's Courtney Friel? And then I found out this woman was Courtney Friel.
Oh, I see.
And then they threw it to a story about a bunny museum.
So you were caught up.
Did you find out what's going on in the world?
So I tweeted, what's news coverage like in minor markets? In small markets, what are they talking about? If I get Courtney Friel's birthday in the Bunny Museum for 15 minutes. And she tweeted back, be nice to me, she said. So there you go, Courtney.
That was
good
sweet.
Work out there in the field, by the way. Today's celebrity birthdays, director John Woo is 68 years old today. Wes Anderson turns 45. Julie Benz is 42. Emilia Clarke, you know her from Game of Thrones. She's 27 years old today. And Ray Parker Jr. is 60 years old today.
You're the only one I love.
Uh-huh.
Can't change that.
Ooh. Yeah.
You're the only one I need.
95.
Can't change
LJ.
That.
Mm. Or whatever.
GB, and Gene Baxter here. You know, Ray gets a little Parker every time I play that song.
I've heard that.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Come on. It's got to be the best theme song in TV history, right?
Certainly.
Wouldn't you guys agree this has to be up near the top, I would think?
Hawaii 5-0 airs Friday nights at 9 on CBS Now in its fourth season. We could not be more delighted to welcome one of the stars of the show, actor Shy McBride, joins us in studio on the Kevin Abine Show right now.
What's
Hi, Shy.
What's up?
What's going on, man?
First thing I want to know is, how come Bean get to stay home? I'm about to start something over here at K-Rock. How come Bean get to stay home, Kevin, and you got to fight traffic?
Yeah,
I'm gonna start a gang war and then mediate it like Cyrus at the Warriors.
I like it. Okay.
You get to stay home and you got to fight traffic. That's crap, brothers.
I'm fine with you starting crap if you'd like.
That's crap, brothers.
But I prefer to be here, and Bean prefers to not be here. So it works out.
Oh, okay.
We're actually both getting what we want. So
that's good.
And all of us are happy to have him there.
as well.
Oh, wow. Dare you. See, you need some more mediating. Can you dig it? Wasn't that that was a corny, corny movie that I love so, so much, The Warriors.
Yes.
Who dresses up? What gang you know dresses up in baseball uniforms and kiss makeup?
Look, there are a lot of things that go on in movies that don't happen in real life that are just nonsense.
Yeah, but when they advertised it back in the day, they were like, a gritty gang story ripped straight from the headlines and on the streets. Like, ain't nobody wear no Robin Hood hats in the gangs I ever saw.
That is not on the street.
No, and people, you know, on the Vice Lords in Chicago is like, this is crap, brothers.
I think it's time for a Shy McBride remake of The Warriors.
There you go.
That's the way to go. Shy is currently on the big screen in the movie Draft Day, mm-hmm. and then, of course, on the small screen on Hawaii 5-0. And now he's on the radio here on KROQ. So you essentially can't get away from Shy McBride, even if you wanted to.
He's invading everything.
Tell me about working and living for part of a year in Hawaii. It's like a dream for most of us who live here on the mainland. What's it like
for
reals?
You know what's funny? Whenever you tell somebody I work in Hawaii, they mm-hmm. never hear the word work.
Yeah, that's true.
They think all you do is go to luau's and eat stuffed pig. And
isn't that all you do?
No, that's not all I do.
Oh, I see.
But there's I do get to play a lot of golf, and I love living there. The people are incredible. It's a really spiritual kind of place. I mean, I don't want to get all otherworldly and metaphysical.
It's paradise, right?
But it really is. It really is. And the only problem I have is whenever I go back after being in L.A. for a few days, I sleep like a baby the first night.
Right.
And then the second night, no sleep at all. Every single time.
Why?
The first time it happened, so I had to go to work at like 5:30 in the morning. I went to bed at like 8 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I'm still staring at the ceiling. So I decide to do the one thing that is guaranteed to put me to sleep, and that's watch The Godfather Part 3. if you can't go to sleep with that on.
I didn't think that's where you were going with that. I was terrified where you were going with that thing.
If you can't go to sleep with that thing on. So I'm watching it on the terrace and having a cigar. And after it was over, I still couldn't go to sleep. And then I go inside my room and I locked myself on the terrace. And at the time, I happened to be butt naked.
Yes.
And, you know,
The
sun was starting to come up and everything, and luckily I had my phone, because if I didn't have my phone, this would have been a national news story.
Absolutely.
And I finally got the guy from security to come up to my room, and he comes out and he says, hey, Mr. McBride, we finally got you. Oh, come on, man.
We have, from time to time, it's been a while, we may have to revisit the topic, but we've done that as a call-in on the show, Shy, where people call up and talk about how they got locked out of a place naked. Kevin, happened to you, right?
It did, yeah, happened to me.
Where were you?
I didn't have a cell phone. I was in my garage, my home garage.
Oh, wow.
Locked out, and the only door open was the back door, but
right.
The neighbors out next door were having a huge barbecue.
So like a family reunion.
Probably 50 people out there, and I was crawling along the bottom of my house naked.
That is hilarious. But
not for them, it wasn't.
It wasn't so
not
much
for
fun.
Them,
yeah.
But for me, it was fun.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
We heard from a lot of people last time we did it who, you know, they're in a hotel and they go to put their room service tray out or something and the door closes behind them and now they're in the hallway.
Just never do that.
Just don't.
Never.
That's a good tip.
If you're in a hotel, if you must get naked, keep your phone in your hand.
All right.
That's the only thing I can say. If there's one article you have with you, at the very least, if it's one of them great big Samsungs, you can cover up your privates with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And,
good idea.
And you
got
to
I need an iPad,
call
but
for
yeah.
help. Then I need a flat screen then. McBride was in the hallway with a flat screen television.
That almost covered everything up.
Have you had any problem, to ask one serious question about Hawaii? Because I have heard from people that a lot of the natives in Hawaii are not crazy about us coming over from the mainland and invading their island. Did you ever run into any pushback at all in that area?
Never. I mean, but you know, my name should be Raymond because everybody loves me.
That's true. That's
but
true.
But you know, it depends. I mean, it's like any place. If you go in, I mean, Hawaii has a culture, and if you go in trying to bogart that culture, you know, you're gonna have some problems.
Right.
You know,
you got to go in there with respect.
Yeah, and Hawaiian dudes can fight.
Is that right?
When you got a Hawaiian dude on your ass, you truly have somebody on your ass.
Did that happen? Yeah. You know this by experience?
I mean, I know of people who have had those experiences, but the thing about it is, you have to be respectful of any place that you go. There's an old saying, when in Rome, man. You know
right.
what I mean? And you can't just go in Bogarting somebody else's culture. And people are very, very serious about surfing, and they're serious about them waves. And I'm so glad I don't surf because I don't never have them problems. I just play golf. And I have no problems with anybody anywhere because, like I say, man, I respect people's culture. I respect a place. And I ask about the lay of the land. From people around, everybody's got a thing about something. You know, this is in the world. You're always, you know, a city block away from something you've never seen before in your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to know where you're going. You got to know your audience. You got to know your territory. You got to know. And it's not like everybody's supposed to be separate. Just ask.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Find out.
Hey, man, is it cool if I just come down here with all of my friends and just surf right here where this normal private enclosed spot that nobody knows about? Is that cool? How long does that take?
You phrase it that way. It takes about 2 seconds.
As opposed to getting your ass kicked.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Right.
If you weigh the two together, the one's not hard to do.
We have a man on our radio right now who is dropping some serious knowledge. Listen up. Captain Lou Grover from TV's Hawaii Five-O Friday nights at 9 on CBS is in studio with us. It's actor Shy McBride. More in a moment with our guest right after this on K-Rock. It has been said that if you want to make your show better, you put Shy McBride in it. You've heard people say that, right, Shy?
That's very sweet. I've heard people say that they heard it.
Have you said
I've never personally heard it.
Okay.
But,
I heard Shy started it. That's what I heard. Shy has been in so many great shows, TV shows and movies over the years. I mean, Boston Public, I guess, is a show that probably many people know you from. Pushing Daisies is one of my favorites.
Surprisingly, is the one that people really...
Is that
really,
that was a cult hit.
Yeah, it was like a cult. It was really a phenomenon in terms of how people... want to talk to me about that more than anything.
What
else.
About Human Target? I love that.
Human Target also. And it was a lot of fun to do. And, you know, we shot in Vancouver. And that's the only problem, shooting in Vancouver. I mean, it only rains twice a year. Once for 5 months. And then for 4 months.
A little too much for you?
Yeah, a little bit too much rain. But this gig, man, being on Hawaii Five-O and being in Hawaii and all that stuff, it's so great. And they shot Lost there also. And everybody, most of the crew that we had also worked on Lost. And like I was a big Lost junkie. And every place I would go looked like some place from Lost, you
right.
know. And I would go with somebody from the island, you know. I'd be like, oh, man, this is where they shot Lost. And they'd be like, no, brother. You go someplace. Oh yeah, this is it. This is that one. But that time on the beach when Sun and Jin got together. No, brother.
Don't they take a step further and tell you where it was shot?
No,
they just say
they
no.
just keep telling you no.
Well, yeah, you keep guessing. I'm going to keep telling you.
Well, after
no.
a while, you kind of realize that they're just messing with you. You know what I mean? But it's like the whole place is so idyllic.
Yeah,
it's easy to mistake these locations. Like anywhere there's a whole bunch of trees. Yeah, this must be where Jurassic Park. No, brother.
So you started out as a guest shot on Hawaii Five-O, right? You didn't know at the time that it was going to turn into a series regular.
I didn't know at the time. Well, CBS asked me to do one, and I said, well, I don't want to do just one because when you do a bunch of TV series. And or something gets canceled and you come up and do one episode of a show, then you got the collective universe going, oh, man, Shy, you want to sleep on my couch, man?
Yeah, this guy can't get a job, right?
Oh, man, come on, man. You want to borrow my car, man?
Oh, that hurts.
You know what I mean? And you it's like you're getting ready to start selling pencils out of a cup. You know what I mean?
How many did you do?
So I did
three.
And then they asked me to do a couple more.
All right.
And then they actually approached me about becoming a regular, which was the most arm-twisting, difficult decision I've ever had to make in my life. You want to work in Hawaii? Yeah, let me get back to y'all about that.
Shy, you've been an actor for 20 years plus now, right?
Well, it depends on who you ask.
Does it? Right, you've been appearing in television and movies for 20 years plus.
Yes,
now.
Yes. That much is true.
Does it ever get easier to be canceled? Because you've been on a lot of shows, some of which were very good through no fault of your own. The plug got pulled. Do you just accept that that's part of an actor's life?
Yes, I do. Because
that seems difficult.
Well, that's a tough part. Depends on, you know, everything in life truly is about perspective. It really is. It's what you... what kind of mind frame you decide that you're going to live in. If you get really emotional, and that's a difficult part about having this job, because you have to be emotional about, you know, your job in terms of performing it. And then you got to be completely unemotional about the part that drives your job, which is the business. You know, people mm-hmm. ask me what I do for a living. I usually tell them, yeah, well, my job is keep you in front of TV long enough for Ford to trick you into buying a Mustang. That's what I do. You know what I mean?
That's one way to look at it.
Because the business, the truth of the matter is, the business isn't driven by art. It's driven by commerce.
That's our business, too. Radio is an advertising delivery service.
There's nothing wrong with that if you embrace that perspective. But when you fall in love with anything, and then it just gets just snatched out of your hand. You know, you ever see a kid with a piece of candy, somebody just snatch it from them?
Yeah, they're not happy.
I mean, first is that look of just complete what's wrong? what kind of world is this, man?
Why would people take
your lollipops from you? You know, there's that shock and disbelief followed by anger and rage. And if you want to just keep going through that, then you never embrace the perspective that this is a business and that people have to make business decisions. I never harbor any ill will or grudges about it. It's just every job is an audition for the next job.
What's the job that you thought was the best and it went away from you? Like, you go, I'll accept it, but it's hard because I really like...
That's very difficult, too. There's two of them, I'd have to say. Boston was... We did nothing but laugh all day, every day. Because I refuse to work in an environment where everything is all dour and serious. It's like, man, relax, man. You making show for the idiot box, man. What's wrong with you? Why are you tripping about motivation and finding your truth and all? What is that? It's like, what are you talking about, man? And so that one was hard. Boston Public was very difficult. In those terms, because of the personal attachment I had to people I worked with, and Pushing Daisies was probably the only time where I really did almost completely fall emotionally for a character, because playing Emerson, Brian pretty much let me say whatever I wanted within the framework, and it was a very collaborative thing between me and Brian and me and Kristen Chenoweth and me and Lee Pace and Anna Friel as well, and it just was... I had a lot of fun doing it. A lot of times I would do stuff and it would be hard not to laugh because I know what it's going to look like.
Right.
Or watching Kristen. And Kristen is just, when Kristen and I would be on the same stage and there's like 3 feet between our height in terms of height difference.
Right.
And that's hilarity right there, just the sight of the two of us together.
And she weighs like 85 pounds too, right? I mean,
soaking
she's tiny.
Wet with rocks in her pocket. She might weigh 85 pounds. And she's beautiful, but just as clumsy as she can be. And she'll tell you that. She'll just fall down a flight of stairs. You know, and you think it's a pratfall, but she's in traction the next day.
That was an accident.
Yeah, she's got beautiful eyes. They just don't work. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's it.
Kristen, is that you?
She goes down. So a situation like Pushing Daisies, though, and Boston Public, too, you knew the work was good, and that's where the intersection of the art versus the business must hurt, because you knew you were doing great work, and for whatever reason, it just didn't get to continue.
I don't know if I think about it in those terms. I don't really think of myself as doing great work. I mean, you know, I'm...
You do
doing
great
what
work.
I would do is, well, thank you.
I'll take that for you. But
that's something, it's just like being an artist. You know what I mean? You can't declare yourself an artist. You know, I mean, Dr. J is not a real doctor. You know,
what?
You can't, yeah, see?
Spoiler alert.
But it's something that people have to kind of throw on you, like a coat or something like that. So I didn't think of it in those terms, but I did have a great deal of respect for David Kelly and a great deal of respect for my coworkers. And I knew how good what they were doing was. And I knew the response that I would get from people out in the world about the show, both shows. So when that comes, but like I say, I don't really fall because I know that this is a part of this business. When you walk into something knowing how it is and with your eyes open, that's why I'm not always at a bar somewhere drunk talking about, those people and their money. They can keep their money. I don't care. I should have 5 Emmys. Look, man, Jackie Gleason was never a winner of a competitive Emmy. Jackie Gleason. Wow. So you're going to be the king of all jerks complaining about not getting anything. If a guy like that, who, by the way, happens to be my idol in terms of show business, is Gleason. If Gleason walked away from this business and ended his life without ever winning a competitive Emmy, you going to cry because your show got canceled, man?
Wow, yeah. That's a very healthy attitude, it sounds like. Hey, listen, before we let you go, because we're almost out of time here, Shai, I have to ask you about the finale of Hawaii Five-0. You were, of course, on Friday nights at 9 on CBS, a show this week, and then next week is the finale. Your character, Captain Grover, your daughter is kidnapped.
Yeah,
it's a hostage, blackmail situation or whatever. Yeah. The evil genius that kidnaps your daughter is played by Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
And let me tell you something. See, because I hear the derision.
You hear exactly the wonderment in my voice.
I hear the derision.
There is some there. How is a Jonas Brother playing an evil genius for reals?
I got to tell you, the kid's got talent. The kid's got some chops.
Really?
He really does. I wouldn't say it. I would just say, yeah, how about that? You know what I mean? if that was, but the kid really does have chops. You really do buy it. And when he came the first time, the fan response was crazy. And it wasn't just a bunch of screaming teenage girls popping bubble gum, telling me, Nick Jonas, ooh, he's so fine. Why don't y'all bring him back? No, that's not what it was. People actually had, it was an overwhelmingly positive response to his performance and that character. They loved to hate him,
right,
which is always great if you're a bad guy. And he shows up in a very big way in this show. I'm telling you, it's a really good episode. It's a powerful episode.
That's
emotionally
great.
It's got a little humor in it, but it's mostly a really powerful episode. And you really see the raw emotion in Grover that you probably didn't think you'd ever
could
see.
Could I hear your impression again one more time of the fans, the Jonas Brothers fans?
Hello, this Hawaii Five-0. This Keisha. Yeah. Why don't y'all have Nick Jonas back on? He's so fine. Ooh, he fine. Y'all should have him back on. Cynthia, come talk to these people from CBS.
Oh, very nice. Well done. Hawaii Five-0 airs Friday nights at 9 on CBS. Shai, a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for coming in.
Right back at you.
Brand new Kevin Devine Internet Roundup coming up later on for you today. Also, our friend Dr. Drew stops by, and we'll talk to my new girlfriend, Sue Ann Pien. She wants to take a one-way trip to Mars. I gotta go with her, you guys.
I don't see them looking for partners.
I know. I probably don't have what it takes to be an astronaut, but we will discuss coming up right after 8. First, though, this is a serious story. I know that it's easy to just gloss over when you see a headline that talks about lime prices, but if you enjoy any kind of food or drinks that have limes in them, you either can't get them or you're paying through the nose to get limes right now. Apparently, there has been bad weather in a lot of places where limes are grown. And more to the point on this story, in Mexico, limes have become so valuable, you guys, that the mob is starting to steal them. They're starting to pull over trucks in the supply line and hoard the limes so that they can sell them at a ridiculous profit.
What? How is that
possible? It's become contraband, these limes.
What?
I know. It's kind of insane. So limes are just selling the production is way, way down, and they're selling for $90 for a 40-pound box of limes right now. So now it's valuable enough to be stolen. So we asked producer Dave, who can you find on this story that can tell us more about it? And apparently Mexican crime boss, as he is referred, Ramon Gonzalez joins us on the Kevin Devine Show right now. Hi, Mr. Gonzalez. Welcome to the show, sir.
Yeah. How you doing?
We're good. Well, we're fine. So you are a Mexican crime boss,
That's
it says
right.
here.
I'm a Mexican crime boss.
Okay. And I did not oversell the introduction. You and your men are stealing limes because they have become so valuable and so scarce.
That's right. You want a lime?
Well, not right
hey,
this.
Hey, you want a lime?
Yes.
$100 for you.
That seems like a lot for a lime.
Oh, but wouldn't you like a nice margarita right now?
I actually would like that, yeah. Wow. That's the, what's happening right now? Has he got a blender going?
He's got a blender.
Look at all the lime juice I'm pouring into that. Oh, that's going to taste good for me because I have the limes.
Yeah, you're kind of rubbing it right now.
First you get the limes.
Right.
Then you get the power.
That's what I've heard.
You get the women.
I have heard all of that, yes. So it's gotten so bad that in many places, even in America, they're substituting lemons for limes in drinks like margaritas.
Oh, lemons suck.
Well, yeah. They're not what you want.
They're not as good as limes.
Right.
What if I make you a nice gin and tonic? What do you want to put in there? What can I put in there for you? What kind of garnish would you like on your drink, senor?
That depends if a lime is $100 or not.
$200 for you now.
$200?
You want some tacos? How about a nice lime wedge with your tacos?
$300! Well, I don't want to pay $300, though. I mean, that does make a difference.
How about some tequila? You like tequila? You like
sure.
Kind of shot
well,
tequila?
Absolutely. Who doesn't like tequila?
With a little
absolutely.
Salt. And what else would you use for that?
A lime.
I would use a lime. $400?
Come on, Ramon.
Wait. Say hello to my little lime.
That doesn't have the same impact.
No, it's not as good, is it?
Doesn't he make sense?
Who are you shooting?
Say hello to my two limes here, right here. How's that? Two limes right here in my hand when I'm holding in my crotch region here.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's much better.
Yeah.
Honestly, hold
on. Hey, who wants to buy a lime? How's that?
That's about as good as you're going to get, I think.
So.
K-Rock listener Sue-Ann Pien is a round two candidate for a one-way trip to Mars. We'll find out how that's going when we talk to her coming up after the top of the hour.
Oh, hold on. She's one of our listeners?
She is.
Well, she can't go to Mars then.
I agree.
That would cut our audience in half.
We need her. You got to stay on Earth. We need you.
Bean can go in your place.
There we go. Right. There's the perfect solution.
There you go.
Well, I'm excited to speak with her coming up next. First, though, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday. What's happening?
Before I get to the beat, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night at 8 p.m.? Well, now you have plans. You're going to come see me and Kevin Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show at the Improv on Melrose. A lot of people have been asking for an earlier show so they can sort of do a dinner and show combo thing, date night kind of style. So we're going to accommodate you this weekend and this weekend only. It's 8 p.m. tomorrow
Says
night.
Says you.
At the Improv on Melrose. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
I like how you move it around to make sure no one can find it.
Yeah, look, you have to keep people interested, man. They're like, oh, where is it this week? Who is it? What time is it? See, that way you just keep them engaged.
I got you.
Can't take it for granted. You know who else keeps me engaged, and I'll never take him for granted? Kanye West. Yeah, Kanye West. How much does he love him?
Oh, he loves him all.
You have no idea. You thought you knew how much he loved him. You don't know how much
he loves him. He loves him more than I thought he loves him?
He loves himself much more than you could possibly imagine.
I showed people that I understand how to make perfect.
His next project, according to The Vibe, a vinyl-only box set of Kanye West's spoken views on the environment, Kim Kardashian, their baby, and life in general. 24 hours of speech recordings.
Oh, my God.
Him talking.
Is this from on stage during the Yeezus tours? Have they just rounded all those rants up?
No.
This is new.
No, sir. This is going to be him going into a recording studio and sharing his views on life with us, the non-creative geniuses.
I love it.
Into a vinyl-only box set, 24 hours worth of opinions and viewpoints of Kanye West. His goal, according to the source, is to win the Grammy for Best Spoken Word Performance. And so he will release this. He also looks forward to streaming 24 hours of his speech recordings around the clock. So for an entire day, he'll be able to have a website set up where you'll just hear for an entire day.
I'm in.
Him talking about life.
I'm in on that. I'm so in on that.
You would not be in any more than I am in on that.
That's awesome.
Because he doesn't make the best of sense in a six-minute chunk.
Correct.
Give him 24 hours. What kind of magic is he going
to
spin?
Nobody to interrupt or
keep
him on track.
Oh,
awesome.
Oh, come on now.
I am the number one human being in music. Mm-hmm. That means any person that's living or breathing is number two.
All right.
Any person that's living or breathing?
Yeah.
One or the other. You have to be one or the other, right?
Yes, apparently.
What about people who are living but not breathing?
Yeah,
could they be better than him?
They could be better than him.
What about someone who's breathing but not alive?
I don't think he ruled either of those groups out.
So we caught him. We got him in a loophole. Amazing Spider-Man 2 comes out this weekend. The insiders are speculating it could make more than $100 million in the box office when it debuts this
weekend. Wow.
It's already taken in almost $150 million overseas since it debuted 2 weeks ago. So high expectations for Spidey 2. We'll have to wait and see what happens, won't we? And while we're talking about films, Clint Eastwood's son Scott Eastwood has picked up his first starring role in a movie. He's going to be the hero in an upcoming romantic drama called The Longest Ride, which is taken from one of those Nicholas Sparks books. Are you familiar with Nicholas Sparks?
Oh, yeah.
The ladies love
the notebook
Sparks
guy, right?
Novels. Notebook, yeah, yeah. And the Message in a Bottle, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
So looks like Scott Eastwood's going to be a movie star.
It's about goddamn time. Speaking of celebrity spawn, Ralph, am I the last person in the world to know that that adorable actress who plays Vice President Selina Meyer's daughter on Veep is Kiefer Sutherland's real-life daughter?
You may not be the last person to know that, because I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that either. Shocked to find that out.
She's
terrific on that show.
She is terrific on the show. She's charming.
And Bean didn't see it first.
No, Bean didn't. Last. Bean feels last on this one.
And Jerry Seinfeld's internet series, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. If you're not watching that, you're missing out. It really is.
Oh, it's so great.
Such an entertaining little chunk of love right there. It's being renewed for 4 more seasons.
Yay!
Wow.
Which I guess is easy to do on the internet. Probably doesn't cost much, and it's just a short little project. But there will be seasons 4 and 5 will debut later this summer, along with 24 more episodes later on next year. So a lot of Jerry Seinfeld in cars with comedians coming up.
For folks who don't know, he literally drives over, you know, picks up David Letterman or Tina Fey or whoever
in
at his house.
In a cool car.
And then they drive to a coffee shop and they just sit and talk about, you know, life and show business and career over coffee. And they get in the car and drive home.
I mean, if you get funny people, you don't need a lot of trappings around them. Just let them be funny. The one with Patton Oswalt is just one of my favorites. It's great. They get into a DeLorean.
So watch that.
And it breaks down about midway through. Yep. And the tow truck shows up. It's very interesting.
Awesome.
Today's celebrity birthdays. John Woo is 68. Another director, Wes Anderson, turns 45. Julie Benz is 42. Emilia Clarke is 27. But the reason we celebrate the day, Ray Parker Jr. is 60.
Jack.
Oh, that was less than impactful.
It was. Kind of didn't have the punch I was looking for.
Really. I don't know that this is.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we want to strike a Jack and Jill from the playlist.
That didn't have the punch. You're right.
I want to go back to Ghostbusters. That's all I'm saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kings of Leon. Coming back to Southern California in October for 2 big shows on the 3rd at the Hollywood Bowl, on the 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. Tickets are on sale Saturday morning at 10 for both shows. Or you can win them right now at 1-800-520-1067 in the second row. But you got to earn them, and it's going to be painful. I'm warning you right now, we are playing Omaroki, and that is the worst game in our arsenal of games. So 1-800-520-1067 if you want to compete for Kings of Leon tickets.
Tell me about Mars One.
Mars One is awesome, first of all. In September of 2022, I think, Kevin, is when Mars One takes off with humans on board. They will land on the red planet in April of 2023 and will live out the rest of their lives there. It's a permanent human settlement on Mars. And lots of people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people signed up when they started advertising for astronauts. One of those people who's still in the running is a round 2 candidate to end up on Mars. Is Kevin and Bean listener Sue Ann Pien, who joins us on the show right now. Hi, Sue Ann.
Hi.
I love you. I'm going to grab onto your leg, and I'm not going to let go. Take me with you, baby.
You're so good. I was just saying, you guys are awesome. I literally grew up listening to Kevin and Bean. Every morning going to school, I'd be like, it'd be like, I don't know, I'd be 15 years old. And
is that why you're damaged now and you want to go to Mars?
Probably.
Well, Sue Ann, we have so many questions for you, but let's start with the one that everyone is thinking right now, because I have discovered as I discuss this with people in my life that there are two types of people. There are the type of people who think you must be insane to want to go to Mars, and then there are the type of people like you and me who go, it would be the coolest thing ever. Tell me what the thought process is that led to you signing up to be a Mars One astronaut.
Okay, well, I've always wanted to go to space. You know, that was my childhood dream. So when I heard about Mars One, I was like, are you kidding me? That's amazing. And I literally, my best friend, she was talking to me about it in the car, and I pulled over. And I went home, and I applied. And I just, I don't know why people are not excited about it, and they can't imagine that.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
so much sense.
For one, you have a best friend, and you'll never see that person again.
Hello? Wow, what a downer, Kevin.
Hello?
Sue Ann?
Go on. I thought that was
a relevant question.
It was a great question, but did we just lost her?
Yeah.
She's gone. I'm sure she's dialing back. But.
Yeah, let's definitely get her back on. I mean, that's the thing is...
I pictured somebody with, you know, like you, with no friends. You know what I mean? Like, that makes sense. If you don't have any friends, you don't have a family, whatever.
I was thinking about this, too. I think this would be a very different decision to make if you are 70 and you don't have that many years left. But Sue Ann sounds young. I think she's in her early 30s.
Right.
She's given up a lot of life. I mean, she's given up the, you know, getting married and having kids and all the stuff that people do in their middle and later years. Sue Ann, are you back with us?
Hey, I'm here.
Okay, yeah. Good. Okay. Well, Kevin was asking you right before we lost you on the line. For starters, you have a best friend. One of the decisions you make when you leave the planet Earth is to leave everything you know and love behind, including your friends and family. Well, how does that factor into your thought process?
Oh, you know, it's hard. It's not easy. You know, I have a girlfriend as well, guys. So, and we're very serious. So it takes a lot of conversations, and it takes a lot of, you know, it's like I used to say, it's no different than when, you know, explorers or settlers traveled from Europe and came to the Americas and landed. And I don't think people know this, but we actually will be able to communicate. There's just going to be like a delay, and the delay can be anywhere between like
a year and a half.
40 minutes. No, it'll be like we'd be Skyping, and you just have to wait for me for like 8
but
minutes.
But does that replace the human contact you have with your girlfriend?
No, it's definitely not. You know, it's not.
How many people are going up the first time?
There's going to be 4 of us.
4
this time.
Do you know if you're the only woman?
No, it's a very the only girl going.
It's a very relevant question.
It is a very relevant question.
Why does Kevin have to make it rapey? We're talking about space exploration here, Kevin.
No, I'm just saying if it's you and 3 guys for the rest of your lives, she's going to have her choice right there because they're all 3 going to be interested.
Well, I think she's already chosen 9 guys, I think. So.
I understand that. That's why I asked if there were other women going.
We don't know yet, right? So when they haven't whittled it down to that small a number yet.
Every team has to have at least 2 women and 2 men.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay.
So,
yeah, it's like Adam's and Eve's. I don't know.
is the plan, see, I don't know what the big picture plan is. Is the big picture plan that you guys will be the Adam and Eve of Mars and that that people will always live on Mars? Or is the intention that you guys will go for a finite number of years and then the program will be over?
No, I think, you know, just from what I've read about what other government agencies want to do, I think we want to go to Mars, and I think besides the science factor of research and all that stuff, I think we could possibly terraform it, which means we can turn it into another planet that is very similar to Earth, and eventually people can go out there.
What about the part where you have to be in a spacesuit all the time, where it's 200 degrees below zero, where you can't – it's not like you can plant a lawn and grow crops
Not yet. Right. Not yet. I mean, it's going to take some time. If you just raised the planet's temperature by 4 Kelvin, you can melt the polar ice caps and you can start the greenhouse effect, which will transform the atmosphere. So, and you can also bring, you know, cyanobacteria there, which basically is this tiny little prokaryote bacteria that poops oxygen.
Obviously.
You don't have to tell us.
Yeah, Kevin, all you have to do is raise the temperature of Mars.
That's all you have to do.
4 Kelvin, for God's sakes. What we've seen of man traveling in the solar system so far has been you go to the moon, you get out and you walk around for a little while, and you get back in your capsule and you come home. And it's pretty tight quarters. How much room would you have on Mars in whatever they're sending up with you and ahead of your visit to live in? Is it going to be the size of a house? Is it going to be the size of a small town?
It'll be like a New York apartment. No, it's pretty tiny. I think that we're going to have to build it out. So I know they're going to send all of the materials before we arrive.
Right,
and they've
right.
actually, yeah, they've pushed it back years. It's not 2023, it's 2024.
But Kevin
now.
Says, and I think it's a legitimate concern, it's awesome to go to Mars. The flight would be the most exciting thing that ever happened. Landing on the red planet would blow your mind. You would feel like the luckiest little girl in the world. And then day two.
And you go, yep, here I am.
Here I am. And then day eight, and then day 1 year. And then you think, what the F? What am I doing here? That's got to be a concern, right?
You know, I'm sure it's not for everybody. Like, for me, I think I would want to dive into the science aspects. I want to go into the caves. I want to look for, you know, I signed up to be the astrobiologist on board, mm-hmm. which means that I would be very busy doing a lot of research studies. And I think it would be very exciting to send all of that material back to, you know, planet Earth, to universities, to schools. I could literally, you know, do all of the research that, that you know, scientists are interested in. So
sure.
I think
well, listen, we're going to have to leave it there for today because we are unfortunately out of time, but we need to keep in touch with you. Can you at least tell us this, Sue Ann, is what's the next step of the process as you advance as a candidate?
The next step is I have a in-person selection committee interview, and then from there they're going to decide who goes on to the next round three.
How many people are in round two have made it to
right
round two?
Right now there's only 706 of us left, and I know somebody just dropped out, so 705 of us.
Yes! Only 705 now. You're practically in.
He's got it made.
All right. Will you be my pen pal, first of all, forever? And will you also keep in touch with the show and let us know how it's going so we can continue to touch back with you as we get closer, okay?
Yes, yes, yes. And guys,
can I
do something right now for my girlfriend? Just
sure.
Listening in the car?
Since this is your last time? Yeah, go ahead.
She's playing at the Hotel Cafe this Saturday. I will be there with her. She's starting at 7 p.m. Her name's Cynthia Catania.
And she's very soon going to be eligible.
She's going to be very single very soon, right?
No,
I thought that was the point.
No.
All right, my bad. All right, Sue Ann, thanks for your years of support, and we look forward to continuing to talk to you as this process rolls on, and we appreciate the time today on The Kevin Devine Show.
Absolutely. I love you guys.
Thank you. DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan, how are you, my friend?
Good, good, good.
If people want to book you for parties or weddings,
yes.
Summer's coming up, how do they do it?
Absolutely. You just log on to my website, djomarkhan.com, click booking or mobile DJ, or you could just email me at omar@caroq.com.
Now, I'm glad that you're not going to be singing at any of these events because you're great as a DJ, not so much as a singer, which is why we love the torture of a game that we call Omaroki.
How dare you.
As a singer, Omar's really lame. So we wish you luck, because he sucks. If you guess, you win the game.
We are playing for Kings of Leon tickets in the second row for their upcoming Southern California shows. Omar's going to be singing a Kings of Leon song. All you have to do is identify it by title. It sounds pretty easy, but that's because you haven't heard Omar sing yet. Who's our first contestant, Kevin?
We have Mario. Hi there.
What's up?
Sup,
sup,
eh?
Orale.
Go Kings.
That's what I'm saying.
You guys ready? You ready, Mario?
All right. Omar's going to butcher a song by the Kings of Leon, and then you just have to tell us the name of it.
Go for it.
Gonna soften the blow, and give it up. I saw the surprise look in your eyes, I give it up.
Wait for me.
Yeah! Wow. Oh, just like that.
Oh. Wow. Very impressive. All right, you are in the drawing, Mario. You are one step closer to living on the planet Mars
nope.
for the rest
of not.
I'm sorry, one step closer to winning Kings of Leon tickets. All right, who's next?
Jose is next. Hi there. Hello, Jose.
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go.
Damn, dude. All right. Hurry. Settle down, dude.
Cancel the thing that I said to do. I don't feel comfortable talking to you. Unless you got the zipper fixed on my shoe. Then I'll be drinking in the lobby for two.
Stupid lyrics, by the way.
Or something like that.
Yeah. Kings of Leon, what song?
Sorry.
We were looking for The Bucket.
Cancel the thing that I said
to do.
No, don't you don't get to sing
like
with
that.
It to like co-sign
the
his voice.
The guy has music, EQs, reverb.
Sure.
If I had that stuff, I'd be exactly the same.
Of course
I
you would.
I feel like Omar has never heard any of these songs before.
I do too. Let's go to Raphael. Hi there.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Doing Omaroki. He's going to sing a song that supposedly is going to sound like a Kings of Leon song. You just have to tell us what it is.
Lay where you're laying. Don't make a sound. I know they're watching. They're watching all the commotion. The kitty like play.
All right, that's enough.
Has
I
the
think
people
that's...
talking.
Okay, we got it.
Talking.
Raphael, what song is that, please?
Would that be Sex on Fire?
That would be.
Where you laying?
Stop singing right. with him.
Why?
Because you're making it sound like that's what you sound
like. That's
how
I sound
like. How you sound.
It is.
Raphael is in the drawing. Let's see who's next.
Corey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How have you done so far with Omaroki?
I've gotten all of them except one.
All except one. All right. Here's your song. Good luck.
So don't knock it, don't knock it, you've been here before. So don't knock it, you've been here before.
What was that? Are you spitting up a lung?
Corey, do you have any idea?
Is that Revelry?
That one's called Notion.
So don't knock it, you've been here before.
Stop it. All right, got time for just two more contestants. Who's our next one, please?
Our next one is Lonnie. Hi, Lonnie.
Hi.
You ready? She's hot. Her name's Lonnie.
You ready for your bad song from Omar?
I am. All right.
You broke my mouth. The bloody bits are spitting out. Is your grave unscathed? The worm is counting down the days.
Wait. Oh, my gosh.
If you don't know, go ahead and take a guess.
Okay.
Gotta pick one. Sorry. It's
this
crawl.
One was Crawl.
You broke my mouth.
All right, one more contestant. Then we got to do the drawing for Kings of Leon tickets in the second row.
Janelle, hi.
Hi. So nervous.
Good luck with this. Man, is this bad.
Off in the night. Why you live it up? I'm off to sleep, waging wars to the shape and poet the beat. I hope it's going to make you notice. I hope it's going to make
okay,
you notice.
I think that's
I
enough.
This.
Thank you.
I know
yes,
this.
What is it?
You Somebody.
Yes.
How did you get that?
Thank God this is over. Janelle, you are in the drawing, as is Raphael. So is Mario. Only one can win Kings of Leon tickets this time around on the Kevin Amincha. Who's our winner?
We got Raphael.
Raphael.
Yeah!
Congratulations.
Hello?
Wow.
Is there gunfire?
I think he's a Ninja Turtle, dude. He's kicking some ass right now.
Oh, Maroki, that's our game, and how much fun we had. Now you know that I didn't lie when I told you he was pretty bad.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Ralph is the Showbiz Beat 2. It is Thursday morning. That means we catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline and the HLN Show Monday through Fridays at 6. Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. Rob Ford's going to treatment.
Yes,
I
he
saw
is.
That. I can't. I mean, I shouldn't say I can't believe he fell off the wagon again, because that's what addicts do. But it looked like a bad one this time, a bender.
Oh, good. People have been asking why would he suddenly go to treatment? I said something happened, and so good. So that convinced him, and that's how it goes. Hopefully, I'm afraid that he'll come back as sort of a book thumper. You know, not really sincerely into it, humbly. He'll be sort of, oh, I'm the greatest recovering person in the world, and that's not the way to do it either. But
how
do
you, I mean, look, you've written books on addiction. You've spoken about it for thousands of hours over the years, and I know there's not any simple solutions here. But, I mean, he looks so sincere every time he gets up and goes, no, seriously, this time I've learned my lesson. This time it's not going to happen again, but it's just that hard, right?
Oh, yeah, it's impossible that way. You kind of, when you've been around this disorder enough, you kind of get a sense when people are in, when they're not lying. You know, the part of the disease is lying and distortion. And so, you know, they lie to themselves, they lie to everybody else. You kind of, when you're around it again, you kind of can feel when that's happening.
Why does he think it's possible for him to ever get away with smoking crack? People are always going to take pictures of that because he's Mayor Ford.
Well, maybe he smokes crack alone, Bean.
Just yeah, Bean.
With people.
This time we saw pictures of him doing it, though.
Yeah, there's that. The question is, how does he think people won't take pictures of him smoking crack when they're around him smoking crack? Because he's wasted. He's not thinking. They're not in his right mind. He's thinking, I want to smoke crack. That's all he's
yeah.
thinking.
Exactly. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. The reason we wanted to talk to you, the thing we wanted to talk to you about this week, Dr. Drew, is for once somebody at K-Rock is in trouble for saying something on the air, and it's not Kevin Bean, and I do get some small delight from that, that we have managed to stay out of this controversy, but you made some national headlines this week. Can you talk a little bit about what happened?
Well, first of all, I appreciate being in the camp with you guys. It's nice to have a support here. I was talking to a young man who called in about his girlfriend with somatizing, with somatoform disorder. In other words, he was very anxious, and he was using a lot of jargon and these sort of super dramatic terminology to describe a common medical problem, like gastritis. He says, her stomach lining was gone. She has no stomach lining. And then he listed IC, which is interstitial cystitis, again, using weird abbreviation and jargon. And then he put endometriosis and dyspareunia, and he just listed all these things. I said, wait. I said, look, come on now. These are all unrelated diagnoses. They're clearly, she's seen multiple doctors, and they're struggling to explain something they can't explain. So they come up with a bunch of what we call garbage bag diagnoses, and don't go see more doctors. I said, look, the fact that she has all these diagnoses that are for unexplained pelvic pain that are unrelated, it makes me think that perhaps she has a trauma history. Does she have a trauma history? Oh, yeah, she was severely sexually abused. I said, oh, great. Well, why don't you go look at that first before she goes see more doctors and, you know, gets yet another diagnosis. End of call.
Okay.
That's it. That was my call.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable. You brought something up to the caller that he hadn't considered as being the cause of these phantom pains.
What my assessment was, I wasn't talking to a woman. I was talking to an anxious man trying to help him help somebody else.
Right.
And my assessment was this probably wasn't the – because if he had said this was a particular condition, he would have said, my wife has endometriosis. It is awful. She's had horrible pain. She has endometrial cysts. She had multiple laparoscopies. Now they're thinking about putting her on hormonal therapy and putting her into menopause. It is you can't imagine the suffering. Her fertility is off, and she may lose her pelvic organs. That's endometriosis. And I would have said, okay. Oh, my God. That is such a horrible illness. It's tough. I know it's
so. How did this backfire on you?
I have no idea. Suddenly, I became the guy who said endometriosis is a garbage bag diagnosis.
Oh, I see. It was just somebody that was barely paying attention.
No, I think one person was barely paying attention, put that up on some announcement, and it became this huge firestorm.
Well, it was everything from Dr. Drew insults women to this is why you don't go to Dr. Drew for medical advice. I mean, the headlines were really tearing you down for this.
This is the dangerous part of things like this, guys, is that I was a vile pig. I needed to be hurt, and my family, they were threatening my family.
Oh, my God.
In this weird mob mentality, and this is where social media, social media gets very dangerous, really problematic. So.
Yeah.
So here's the deal. I'm constantly apologizing about this, and people have been asking for an apology, so I apologize on my podcast. I'm going to dedicate a podcast to endometriosis. I've apologized every night on the radio, yet that doesn't seem to be enough. I don't understand why. So let me just say, if I upset anybody, if I hurt anybody, or made them feel diminished by the way I spoke about this, I'm really deeply sorry. That was certainly, of course, not my intention. But I wasn't talking to a woman, and I wasn't talking about endometriosis.
Right.
I'm sorry, there was a big misunderstanding.
So this can't be the first time that something like this has happened, where you giving radio advice to somebody that you is not your patient, somebody that you've talked to for 3 minutes on the phone, cannot be considered a complete diagnosis from actual medical doctor.
And that's the other point, Dan. This is a Loveline is an environment where we kind of direct people in the right direction. We do not treat anybody. I have a minute and a half to make an assessment, and the two things I'm trying to assess is what's the most likely thing that's going to help this person, and how can we create sort of a teachable moment. So
what you did in reality was you sort of ruled out endometriosis
because clearly she'd had that evaluation. She'd been evaluated for all these things and yet got another diagnosis after that,
right?
Because that didn't adequately explain what was going on with her. And that's what we in physicians call garbage bag diagnosis. You throw one in the garbage bag after the other, and the patient is still never getting the right diagnosis.
Gotcha. And by the way, Alan Thicke was on your show that night. Isn't he a great guest? We had so much fun with him.
Yeah. We liked him. What happened?
No, we did. But it was a strange left turn from Bean.
Well, I'm just saying that the night that was kind of part of what made some people mad is that after Dr. Drew hung up with that caller, then Mike started going on a thing about, you want to talk about pelvic pain, you should see Alan Thicke's penis. I mean, it just the whole thing just turned into something else, because that's how Mike does.
That's what Mike does. That's right. That's just Mike. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do, indeed?
Well, I'm glad you cleared it up for us, Dr. Jew, and I wanted to have you on to talk about it just because I know people may have seen your name in the headlines lately, and I want them to hear the story.
Unfortunately, there's not much else I can do except say, apologize and try to do some education about endometriosis, and maybe, I don't know. I don't know what I can do in terms of assessing people on the radio and not let this happen again. But,
Loveline airs Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Friday nights at 6, and then a fine family of podcasts at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. Have a great week, sir. We'll talk to you soon.
You good. See you soon.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's skating for America, but I think he's literally the first American ice skater of all the ice skaters who have skated for with Cuban blood. I think he's never...
That was a moment with
Forgot
Bean.
How good that was.
Yeah, that's a good one. Strong.
Sometimes you're in a moment with, and you know what it is you're trying to say. Sure. The words just aren't coming out. I don't even know what I was trying to say there. I'm completely lost even now what the point of that was. All right, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What you talking about?
Speaking of skating, we haven't mentioned it nearly enough, but congratulations to Los Angeles Kings for...
How about that?
Yay!
For
their historic win last night over the San Jose Sharks. It really was fun to watch that happen, especially after watching my own Philadelphia Flyers go down and get a close one, just two to one. It was a tight game. It was well fought, but the Rangers just smothered them the whole series long. So I was glad it went seven, actually. But now I said last night on Twitter, and I am officially throwing my weighty support behind my adopted home team of the Los Angeles Kings.
Well, that'll make a huge difference for the players, knowing that you're on board.
Kidding me? Richie and Karts and all those guys, they know me from back in the hometown.
True.
They know.
That's right.
Back Flyers totally. West back there.
That's right. How crazy is it, and I mentioned this earlier today, but how crazy is it, something as rare as coming back from a 0-3 hole in a seven-game series, to have two players on the Kings who did it with the Flyers? It
seems like they are the element.
Yeah.
They are the magic.
It was magic.
And vice versa, if it hadn't been for Wayne Simmons that we got in that trade from the Los Angeles Kings, Flyers would have been out a lot sooner in that series. He had a hat trick in Game 6.
Hat trick?
Yeah, it was terrific. But, boy, hockey's fun. Playoff hockey's just the best.
It is the best.
It's really hard to find a more exciting sporting event than the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Now, Kevin, you will not make the drive to the Honda Center to see the Kings play Anaheim.
I don't know about that, because... Before it was, hey, do you want to go see playoff hockey?
Mm-hmm.
And I would always say, you know what? I'd rather let, you know, fans of that team go.
But now you are fans of that team.
Yeah. But now that it's the Kings, then I may have to.
Yeah, I think you have to go.
I think I have to.
And
Kings Ducks Saturday night.
I know. How exciting to have two teams in this area that are both competing. It's going to be quite the series. And I don't mean to cast any aspersions on the Ducks. They're a fine team and a lovely organization. And Wild Wing himself came into the office the other day and said hi. Well, he didn't say anything, really. But I could tell he was meaning hi. And they had a couple of the Duckettes, whatever they call those ice girls, with them. And they're a lovely organization, and I appreciate them and say hi to them as well.
May the best team win. That's what you're
saying. Absolutely, yes. I have no ill feelings against the Ducks.
Is that so? He doesn't... Are you a regular Duck fan? You watch all the time him?
No, I don't really watch all the time him. But I appreciate the amazing season they're having, and I wish them well. But I live in Los Angeles, you know?
So I wish them well right up until they play the Kings, and then I wish they lose.
All right, let's move on with show business news. Hayden Panettiere, she's gone through some hard times. And you don't think about this, the personal effect that all this civil unrest in the Ukraine is having, but, you know, she's engaged to boxer Vladimir Klitschko, who is Ukrainian, and because of the political problems in his home country, they have had to put their wedding on hold because he's very active in the political scene there in the Ukraine, and he's trying to stay focused on what's going on there. So Hayden Panettiere, star of Nashville, of course, and Heroes, has had to put her own love life aside for the better of her fiancé's native country. But she said she's even joined in the protesters there last year. She was...
Wow.
On the front lines. So. She should just use her mind. Can't she just move stuff with her mind or something? Do I remember seeing that in a documentary?
I think so. I think she does that.
Yeah, I think she's got that. Guy tried to eat her brain?
Right.
It's all fuzzy, right?
Talk about Heroes?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't a documentary at all, was it?
No.
I just remember Spock trying to eat her brain.
That was fiction.
That's all I remember.
I don't mean this in an indelicate way, but...
You know, anytime Bean uses a setup like that, people, start your recorders.
Here
because
comes something.
There's something, something actionable coming, and you may make a couple bucks in a court of law with the following.
How does it physically, literally work between species that are such different sizes as Vladimir Klitschko and Hayden Panettiere? Like, it
they're not
to
different
be...
species. No, but they're the same species.
No, I know, but it's so are, you know, St. Bernards and Chihuahuas, but I don't see how they mate. I literally don't understand what it must be like for them. He's so big and she's so tiny. It just must be awkward, right?
Or awesome.
Yeah.
So you think she's a spinner?
She has to be. She's 4'1".
Right.
And he's 9'7".
I don't think either of them are quite that.
Those are facts. That is science.
It's just, it's crazy to picture. That's all. It's just crazy to imagine what it must be like.
Awesome to imagine. That's what you mean.
All right. So you think they're doing fine.
They just go in the bedroom and...
Then what happens?
Was there a hand signal? What did I miss?
Come on.
Then something happens.
Come on.
When they go in the bedroom?
Bang, bang,
oh, there we go.
Oh, there we go.
Bang, 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 bang.
You know how that could have been more effective, Kevin?
Timing.
Timing.
Ty. Ming! I got to play this again because it's the best thing in local television that's ever happened ever.
Oh, this is great.
This is from KTLA here in Los Angeles. The lovely Courtney Friel. She is hot. And here's the thing. You don't send a hot girl out into the field if you want to get the man of the street interviews. Because then all the natural disasters go by the wayside and the man's natural hormones take over.
Yeah.
She was reporting on those wildfires up there to the north, and she's trying to talk to people who she thinks are fleeing their homes, and she ends up interviewing a shirtless man I'm pretty sure was loaded in a baseball cap carrying his dog. First of all, if I see that guy, that's the guy I'm not going to for the interview, the shirtless guy carrying the dog who looks like he's got a load on.
Maybe he's the only one, though.
Maybe. Anyway.
Awesome.
The interview didn't go the way she expected, and then she went full Kevin at the end of the report. Here for your enjoyment is Courtney Friel from KTLA.
Sir, do you live around here?
Yeah. Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
We're on the air live right now on KTLA, Awesome. Actually. Do you live in one of these houses?
Oh,
are you evacuating?
I live down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think of it?
It's pretty cool.
All I know is we've been talking to several people coming out of here, and they are really scared. I mean, just looking at the fire, it lights up at times, and it gets really dark, almost like a tornado. That's the best way to describe it. It really seems like that is what it would be.
It does seem like that's what it would be.
That poor girl.
If it was a tornado, but it's not. And fire, and if you notice or not, lights up sometimes.
Yeah.
Fire.
And you know what else? Technically, scientifically, not cool.
That's true.
I don't understand what either of those words mean.
What do you think of the fire? Hey, what do you think of the fire?
What do you think of the fire?
Fire's something, isn't it?
What kind of question is that?
Pretty cool. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emilia Clarke is 27 years old today. Julie Benz turns 42. Wes Anderson's 45. John Woo, the director, is 68. And we just haven't had any time to get to this story today about how Bean's wife got accosted by Ray Parker Jr. in a theme park.
And Bean still loves him.
No. Bean adores him as an artist, and yet he doused his future wife with ice cream.
Yes.
In a fit of rage.
We'll save that for next hour, I guess.
All right. Here's a little taste of Ray Parker Jr.
Something strange in the neighborhood. Who you gonna call?
Throw ice cream!
There's something weird, and it don't look good. Who you gonna call?
Throw ice cream!
A lot of other people know that was the original lyrics to that song, Throw Ice Cream. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
Get set to lose the whole rest of your workday, because it's time for another Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser, pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing, laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet.
How much time a day, Dave, the King of Mexico, our producer, who joins us in studio, do you think you spend on the internet?
About 23.
23 hours?
Yeah.
That's why Dave's the guy we go to put all the best viral videos of the week in one handy location at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. First up in the video roundup today is this. It's a Davenport University graduation ceremony. And you know the trend in recent years, Kevin, has been you don't just get up there and shake the dean's hand and get your diploma and walk off stage. You've got to do something.
Sure. You got to
stand
lift
out,
up,
man.
You got to lift up your gown and have something written on your chest. Or you got to, you know, you got to give a speech. You got to yell something. You got to have a silly something in tape on your hat. You got to do something. This student decided he was going to do a backflip after he received his diploma. That did not go well. He did about half a backflip and then just collapsed into the stage. And it's hilarious. And you'll hear the woman shooting the video doing the play-by-play.
Keaton Taylor Briggs. Oh, okay. I don't know. We're just going to give it a minute.
As he crawls his way up and then off the stage. Look, if you're going to attempt a baller move like that, you got to stick it.
I agree. You should be able to do a backflip.
No way, dude. The failing is the best thing because now everybody remembers him. Like,
I guess.
Because if he sticks it in, like, oh, wow, that was dumb, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You probably
anyone really, goes, it, that was dumb.
No, that's
but
dumb.
But it probably wouldn't have been a big viral video if it would just have been another guy doing a backflip.
Exactly.
All right, Dave, tell me why Harry Potter versus Star Wars is awesome.
Because it's these kids who just put together, you know, what everyone always talked about. Like, who would win in a fight between Harry Potter and, you know, Luke Skywalker or Anakin from Star Wars?
Okay, and, but the Jedis have lightsabers. What do the Potter kids have?
They have magic
they have
and wands.
Bean.
Yeah.
Well, all right, well, let's see how that goes.
Scared, Potter.
You wish.
Yeah, I take lightsaber over wands and spells any day. Does it bring it home for you, Kevin?
It's a good clip. Happy with that.
There is a YouTube channel called Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, I think is what it's called. And they are very prolific. They do a song about every week, and they usually take current pop songs and do them in different styles. Well, now they're on a roll where they're doing cartoon songs as different styles of music. And this one is they took the DuckTales and they did it as a Saturday morning slow jam. And I got to tell you, it's pretty freaking awesome.
For the lyrics.
Listen to that recorder jam. Baby making music.
She's really good too. She sounds like Jill Scott on this. I have bought quite a few of the Scott Bradley songs and listen to them all the time. And they really do a cool job with rearranging some of the songs.
As long as they don't do that stupid doo-wop. I hate when people do that.
They do a lot of that. Jimmy Fallon has a regular feature that he does where he lip syncs with the visitors of guests on the show. This time, Emma Stone stopped by, and she was adorable like she always is. Here's a clip of that.
My second and final song is All I Do Is Win.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Now, obviously, the video is what you need to see because it's just, otherwise you're just playing a song. But to see her actually singing that song is hilarious. They did a bunch of songs in this way.
Am I the only one who doesn't care for this segment?
Yes.
It's just...
I've never seen it.
Well, think about it, Kevin. They're lip-syncing. And it's just... I don't know.
But they're so good at it.
Well, anyone could be good lip-syncing.
But let's say you're the best. You're still lip-syncing.
Yeah.
Right. I would like to see a video of Dave the King of Mexico lip-syncing to a song.
All right.
Up next, this is a great bit, also on the Fallon Show. Robinson Cano, who was a multiple-year all-star for the New York Yankees, he left New York last year to sign with, of all teams, the Seattle Mariners, because apparently he never wants to get to the playoffs again. So he signed a huge deal with the Mariners, and this week is his first visit back to New York to play against the Yankees. So you can imagine Yankees fans hate him, right, because he's a traitor because he left New York.
Right.
So Jimmy Fallon goes out on the street, and his people start interviewing Yankees fans about, oh, you going to the game this weekend? What are you going to do, man? You're going to boo Robinson Cano? And they have a cardboard stand up on the street so that the people on the street can boo Robinson Cano. Well, what they don't know is that the real Robinson Cano is standing behind the stand up and he steps out in front. So now they're face to face with this guy that they're just talking smack about, and boy, do their tunes change.
Are you going to boo him?
I'm going to boo the out of him.
Boo! You suck!
Try it again.
Should I try it again?
Yeah.
There he is.
Robbie, welcome back to New York.
Well, welcome back to New York. And it was one right after another talking about how much he sucks. And then, oh, my God, it's so great to meet you. All right, up next to the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup, it wouldn't be a roundup without the Gay of Thrones recapping this most recent week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah, and then baby Barack Obama and the slaves, like, broke into this castle thingy. And I actually thought that they just started playing the beginning of Madonna's Express Yourself video. And the turbines were going to start going.
Yes,
and the guys
buddy.
In the ripped jeans were going to come with the chains.
Up next, Brooklyn Decker, who's on a new sitcom called Friends with Better Lives. She has two very attractive roommates on the series, and they put together a video for Funny or Die where they just talk about how Brooklyn is so sexy she just can't stop herself.
Are you ready for this? I know exactly what you like. I am gonna push all your buttons.
What are you doing?
Yeah, Brooklyn, why are you always so sexual when you set the DVR?
It's a little weird.
Like, we're here just to watch TV. Doesn't have to be a super sexual experience.
But it can be.
I mean, spoiler alert, by the way, her two roommates that are mocking her are completely naked in the video. So you might want to check that one out. Here's a guy who went off into the desert, took a bunch of LSD. He is tripping out and decides now's the time to shoot a philosophical video.
And if you're not here, then you're a loser. Sorry. But this universe is so beautiful. Oh, I love you. Thar desert of India. Oh, I love this music. Oh, everything is alive.
Oh. Bean needs to do that.
I was thinking Beer Mug needs to do that.
No, I don't know.
King of Mexico is going to lip sync, and Bean is going to trip balls.
Yes.
And finally, on this week's Internet Roundup, how about our old friend Jimmy Kimmel Live this week in unnecessary censorship?
The United States sending Vladimir Putin of Russia a new and unmistakable message. Off.
What poor people need is a in the.
What'd you say, Brian? He wasn't allowed to shove the in your face.
Always great. Go to KevinAmin.com or KRock.com for a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bane, Internet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39. One more time. It's Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on a Thursday morning. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
We've been talking about it all morning. A piece of viral video that has just taken the nation by storm. They've all fallen in love with, like we have here locally in Los Angeles, with the lovely and talented Courtney Friel, reporter for KTLA. She was out there covering the wildfires, trying to get some man-on-the-street interviews when this shirtless dude carrying a dog and a baseball cap walked up to her, and things, well, you'll hear for yourself.
Sir, do you live around here?
Yeah. Wow, you're super pretty. You want to go on a date sometime?
We're on the air live right now on KTLA, awesome. Actually. Do you live in one of these houses?
Oh,
are you evacuating?
I live down the street. I was just checking out the fire.
What do you think of it?
It's pretty cool.
All I know is we've been talking to several people coming out of here, and they are really scared. I mean, just looking at the fire, it lights up at times, and it gets really dark, almost like a tornado. That's the best way to describe it. It really seems like that is what it would be.
Welcome to my fresh hell.
Yeah.
Yep. That's Kevin's life right there.
Courtney got a little flustered when that guy sort of hit on her in the middle of a major conflagration as the world was burning. He was just concerned about getting her digits.
She did. But by the way, it seemed like she stayed in journalist mode to ask, you know, do you live around here?
Yeah.
You know, talking to him about the evacuation. I mean,
she
was definitely trying to keep the thing on track. But it is so hilarious how quickly he went from realizing how attractive she was to, oh, my God, I got to get me some of that and ask her out.
Yeah. Let's. Should we talk to the lady herself?
Please.
I think
we have Courtney on the phone.
We have Courtney on the phone.
Hey, Courtney.
Good morning,
Hi,
Courtney.
Hi, guys. Hi. We can't believe I'm with my photographer that I worked with yesterday. We're actually driving back out to the fire now in the news van, and we just can't believe that this went viral. Like, it must be a slow news day.
Are you going out to pick up more dudes in the fire? Is that what you're doing?
Oh, God. I hope not. I hope to not make another viral moment. And if I do, I would like to not be wearing my photographer's extra large windbreaker and have dirt and ashes all caked in my teeth. It was so nasty out there.
Yeah. It looks pretty rough.
Not too nasty for that dude.
No. When he said, hey, you're super pretty, do you want to go out?
tell me what was going through your mind. Like, how fast did it register with you that he was proposing to you on live TV?
So I was in the middle of interviewing the public information officer, you know, one of the firefighters, giving us an update. And, you know, we were kind of just going live with live coverage on KTLA. And so I just saw this guy walking up. And, I mean, I had been out there watching people trying to get the heck out of there because it was pretty dangerous at one point. Even my photographer and I thought, like, we were going to get stuck because we were driving around looking for a good spot. And so I was just like, oh, hey, you know, are you getting out of here? And then when he's like, oh, you're so pretty. I mean, I instantly, like, kind of cut him off as he was.
He wasted no time, though.
I know. You know, my standard response when people ask me out, like, at the grocery store or something is, oh, can my husband and two kids come as well?
Nice. Wow, wait a minute. You're talking about putting out a fire.
If we were covering, like, a concert or, you know, at a baseball game or something, you expect those rowdy type of fans, but. I was kind of caught off guard, obviously.
Courtney,
I was continuing to stumble after.
Yeah, you did ask him what he thought of the fire, though, and he said it's cool. That did happen, right?
Well, that just ticked me off. You know? I was like, all right, you know. And my photographer thought, you know, you never know what people are going to do on live TV, so that's why he panned off right away.
He was already shirtless. You didn't want the pants to come off, too.
And the reason in a situation like this in the news, the reason you grab those people walking by is you hope that they can add to the story by being somehow involved in it. Like, hey, I'm worried about my house, or hey, you know, whatever. The last thing you expected is the dude was just out for a stroll with his dog.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised that he was there and just walking around like that. And then, you know, because most of the time I was just flagging people down as they were driving out. They were going pretty fast. You know, they wanted to get out of there. And
they're all
like, hey,
rushing out.
Hey, we're live on KTLA. Can you talk with us?
And you thought,
you know,
finally.
I wonder if that guy knows that he has, you know, made Jimmy Kimmel in the Today Show and gone viral. I would love to find him.
Dude, yes, that dude doesn't even know he was on TV.
I think if you go to the nearest liquor store, you can find him, Courtney.
Well, it was very, very funny. And I know it's not anything you ever expect when you're out doing, especially a serious news story like this fire coverage. But you handled it well, and we enjoyed it, and we enjoy you. So we're glad you're able to come on with us.
Oh, well, thanks. Hey, since our weekend show doesn't have a promo, I'm going to promo our weekend show. 6 p.m.
Oh, sure.
10 p.m. That's when I anchor.
6 p.m.
crew.
All right.
Are you guys going to do another story in the Bunny Museum?
Wait, what?
The Bunny Museum.
Oh,
I loved
yeah, that
piece.
That was our Easter kicker, by the way. It was not our main
That
story.
Was on your big birthday show.
Apparently, Ralph has been
dedicated to your birthday.
Ralph has been a burr in your saddle all week, I understand.
I know. He gave me a hard time about that. I was like, you must have just tuned in because we did have a half-hour news of real news before the kicker. You know, the kicker story.
Sure.
You need a kicker.
Sure,
the human interest.
It was Easter.
And the Bunny Museum people tweeted me. They were happy we gave them the coverage.
Oh, I'm sure they really were. No one else has ever paid attention to the Bunny Museum.
All right, Courtney. Well, listen, be safe out there in the fire. Good luck covering that for Channel 5. Thanks a lot for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed it, okay?
All right. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. By the way, Ralph, West Philadelphia, born and raised.
Yeah, I know. She's a Philly girl.
Oh.
Yeah. We had a chance to talk about that. We're too busy talking about guys hitting on her in the middle of a fire. But she does anchor the weekend news for KTLA.
She seems delightful.
She does a good job. She seems very nice.
Yeah. And I don't blame the guy either. I don't blame the shirtless dude either.
Hey, look, it might be all coming to an end at that point. The guy doesn't know. This might be the last chance he ever has ever, you know?
That's right.
Next thing you know, you're a pile of smoke and ash. So you might as well
especially
take a chance.
Him. Especially if he's near the fire, he's smoking ash immediately.
Him and his dog are going to just go up in just vodka flames are just going to take off. So I don't blame that guy for trying to get a little something.
That's awesome.
Well, she's a good sport. I'm glad she came on. Let me give away something cool here. This is a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Neighbors.
Yay!
It's going to be a very funny movie starring Seth Rogen, Rose Byrne, Zac Efron, story of a couple with a newborn baby, unexpectedly living next door to a fraternity house. Not the best match. It must be what people feel like when they move in next to Kevin. They're like, we had no idea this was going to be our life. And Kevin's out there doing keg stands and crawling around nude in between the houses, trying to get back into his house.
And just the schedule of party buses taking off and returning at all hours of the day and night from his house.
What a nightmare.
If you'd like to see this movie, call me now, 1-800-520-1067. I'll be given 5 lucky winners, pairs of passes to the K-Rock screening of Neighbors May the 6th at the AMC Burbank 16. And then Neighbors will be in theaters everywhere May the 8th, so you can check it out if you don't win. Today's celebrity birthday is Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones is 27. Julie Benz is 42. Wes Anderson turns 45 today. What a great director. Another great director, John Woo, is 68. And Ray Parker Jr., singer-songwriter, thrower of ice cream, he is 60 years old today.
I'm in love.
Uh-huh.
I'm in love with the other woman.
Yeah, that's right.
My life was fine. Yes, it was. Till she blew my mind.
Yeah, the other woman, of course, is Bean's wife. Bean's wife is the other woman. Real quickly, Bean, tell the Ray Parker Jr. story.
The way I remember it, it's been a while since I heard it now, is my wife was 15 years old. It was her first job. She was working at Magic Mountain up in Santa Clarita, and she was working the ice cream stand, and Ray Parker Jr. came in and I think asked for free ice cream, if I remember correctly, or asked for a free upgrade to a larger size, one of the two. And when my wife, terrified of losing her job, said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You got to pay the posted price. He took the ice cream and hurled it at her right in the head. Right in the head.
Hurled at your wife's head.
Yeah, a 15-year-old girl, by the way, he hurled his ice cream at. And he was already a big star at that time, of course. So it was very unacceptable behavior. And it really irks her to this day that I still am a fan of Ray Parker Jr. and I still enjoy his music because he's dead to her for life now as a result of it.
I would think that would make you not like him as well.
I can separate the person from the art. I can still enjoy Jack and Jill.
But it's your wife.
I know. Look, I don't like what he did.
This is the only woman on the planet that would marry you.
I know.
You would maybe defend that a little.
I in no way support or endorse what he did, but I
still like him.
I separate that from his music, but it is every time we think of Ray Parker Jr., though, we do think of that that tragic day in Valencia back in the 80s.
Well, Ghostbusters trumps love anytime.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I don't know why we're helping Beer Mug out. He's got some traffic issues.
Yeah.
So why are we...
Well, he's being unjustly accused, Kevin.
I was going with the flow!
In his defense.
We're going to talk to Lee Rittenberg, the traffic defender, about helping him out. And I'm just
You'll be fascinated by this, Kevin, because he got a ticket that was not a radar ticket. He got an approximate speed ticket, and he thinks that's the key to get out of it. And we'll find out what Lee says.
Or maybe the guy won't show.
That's always a good defense. Just pray for illness to befall a cop.
Plus, it's Friday, so we'll have a look at the movies in the theater with the movie beat. And King's Duck starts Saturday night. We're going to talk to Ryan Getzloff. And... Well, I can't say that, can I? Can I say that beat or no? I can't say
no,
that.
No, we don't know yet.
And maybe we'll have something else.
No.
Tomorrow morning.
Good work.
On an all-new show.